Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. My name is Lisa Woodruff, and I'm a professional organizer and blogger in Cincinnati, Ohio. I want to help you get your home organized and help you organize life stages and unexpected events. So sit back, relax, and let's get organized. It's time for our February book club, and this month I am talking about the book called Procrastinate on Purpose by Rory Vaden. Now, when I first started this book club series, we started with my book, The Mindset of Organization, understanding that everyone can get organized. And part of getting unorganized and reorganized again is that women go through four distinct phases of life. And in that book, I specifically talk about the memorabilia, the memories, and the accumulation of stuff that happens in each of these four phases of life, how we could save the memory, but let go of the stuff. Then in January, I told you about the book, The One Thing. And the focusing question that we talked about was, what is the one thing I could do right now such that by doing it, everything else becomes easier or unnecessary? So the one thing I could do right now is record this podcast so that my editor can put it up and not me. And that will make my life easier and my learning how to do that unnecessary. Today, we are going to expand upon that one thing focus and go into the book Procrastinate on Purpose by Rory Vaden. So as you listen to each of these book club podcasts that I'm doing, they do add to each other. So listening to them out of order is fine, but if you listen to them and implement them in order and actually go listen to the books on Audible and what the author has to say, you are going to become so much more productive. Okay, so I'll let you in on a little secret. First of all, I'm a little bit competitive, not with other people, a little bit with other people, but with myself a lot. Like, I'm always competitive with myself. And one of the things I love to do is to see if I could get more done in less time and how productive I can be. I kind of take this to the extreme and I don't even realize it because I'm just competing with myself and it's really, really fun. But a good friend of mine said, I am so, I'm the most productive person she has ever met. So when I read this book by Rory Vaden, Procrastinate on Purpose, I knew it was about multipliers. He called multipliers, people who are able to multiply their time. So when I bought the book, I was like, ooh, I really hope I qualify as a multiplier because that's what I love to do is multiply my time. And as I read this book, I was like, oh my gosh, this explains me. So if you ever wondered, like, how does Lisa think or why does she come up with these things or do things the way she does? Read the book, Procrastinate on Purpose. It's like Rory opened my brain, put it all on paper so you could see exactly how I think. So I'm going to dive deep on a couple of the things that he talks about in this book and explain how multipliers think and how they're able to multiply their time. But what's really interesting is the focus funnel that Rory has come up with and his POP system, which is Procrastinate on Purpose, is the Sunday basket. Like, if you just replaced the Sunday basket with some of his words, it's exactly the same, which is so exciting. So let's dive in. First of all, Rory talks about this idea that you cannot manage time. The idea that we can manage time is a myth, and the only thing that you can manage is yourself. So time management does not exist. It's self-management. And I 100% agree with this. Like, you can have the best organized to-do list, planner, everything, but if you want to spend an extra 30 minutes on Facebook, you're going to, and then something is not going to get done on that to-do list, right? So time management is all about self-management. And he talks about Dr. Stephen Covey's work that has been the basis of how we understand time management for the last 30, 40 years, which has this graph, which is an X and Y axis. And it talks about how you can get more done if you can focus on the important tasks instead of the urgent tasks. And he has you divide out all of your tasks into four quadrants and then prioritize your day in order to get more done. So, for example, if you need to do the dishes, in the laundry, and you have to write a letter to someone, and you have to pay a bill. And these are all things that are on your to-do list. Some of them are important, like the bill has to get paid on time, otherwise you're going to have to pay more money. Some of them are urgent, like you have to do the laundry because everyone's out of underwear. But what are the important and urgent tasks? Those are the ones that should be done first. And what people often delay is they do things that are urgent or right in front of their face instead of things that are important but not really screaming out that they need to be done. So if you get an instant text message from your child saying they need headphones at school, and so you jump in the car and you spend an hour driving those to school and back, you get done the urgent thing that was on your phone that notified you, but you may forget to do the important thing, which is wash the clothes so that we have underwear tomorrow. And you find out the next morning you didn't get the laundry done because it wasn't urgent. It wasn't binging and bonging on your phone, and you weren't getting reminders to get the laundry done. Okay, so that's the difference between important and urgent. So important is how much does this matter? And urgent is how soon does this matter, according to Rory. But what he found out was that multipliers add a third dimension to this priority matrix. And instead of worrying how important things are and how much they matter, or how urgent they are and how soon they matter, they add a third development, which is significance, which is how long will this matter? This is something I have been doing since childhood. So for example, I got a D or something on a test when I was in 8th or 9th grade, and my mom flipped out because I didn't get an A or a B, you know, like a D is not acceptable grade. At that time, we didn't know I had dyslexia, and this is why I had such a hard time with comprehension. But anyway, I got a D on the test. So how I learned and my philosophy on education, and I am an educator, is that we want to accumulate knowledge. Like we want to learn the information, not necessarily be able to retrieve it and put it on a test at the exact time that you need to for a specific grade. So my goal has always been to learn about things and go deep about the things that really interest me, and then synthesize learnings from one area to another area to get even deeper understanding. So I love knowledge. Like it's one of my top things is to be a learner and to learn knowledge. If you do those tests, I can't remember the tests that Natalie made me take, but it said that I am a learner. Like I'm constantly wanting to learn. So when I got that test back at school, I went up to the teacher after school and I asked about each question I got wrong. And I said, well, what is the correct answer here? And what is the correct answer here? So I had the knowledge by the time I went home with this test with a D on it, which was not acceptable. And I remember, I was such a fresh little 8th grader. I remember saying to my mom, Mom, is it more important that I get a grade that you could see on a paper or that I have the knowledge? Because I have the knowledge of what was being taught because I already asked the teacher and I learned what she was teaching. So I have the knowledge, but I don't have the grade. Which one is more important? So while I would play with button boxes while I shopped, I was a pretty easy child. I also was a pretty intellectually challenging child when it came to these kinds of things. Like the whole idea that we do things perfectly and on time is not really important to me. It's more important that you know how valuable you are and how smart you are and how much you're learning and growing every day than that you could perform a certain task at a certain time. So the significance calculation is how long will this matter? So to me, it if you go on the important, urgent, and significance calculation, it was important to my mom that I got an A or B on that test so that I got a good GPA so I could get into a good college or whatever. And it was urgent because the test was today, like the grade was on today. But for me, I just saw the significance calculation. How long will this matter? Well, this test only matters today, but knowing the knowledge of what was on that test matters forever. So I prioritized the knowledge over the test and the grade. And that is how I just look at life. So here's how I see how this plays out in your home organization. So many people say they don't have 15 minutes a day to get organized. And I know. If you prioritize 15 minutes a day in my 100-day challenge, your house will get organized. And you may have to go through the challenge a couple of times. I know you will. Doesn't matter. Even if you have to go through it 5 times, I know that the significance calculation of doing the 100-day challenge, however many times you have to do it, puts you where I am today, where I have so much time, I don't know what to do with it. So I'm constantly coming up with new business projects and new things I could do. And even more important than that, I'm spending more time with my kids and my husband and dreaming and doing the things I've always wanted to do because I don't spend any time looking for things and my house is totally organized. It's not picture perfect, like Better Homes and Gardens is not showing up anytime soon. But I don't look for things. So I have a lot of extra time. If I want to work on a jigsaw puzzle, I can because my house is organized. Now, here's how this looks like on a day-to-day basis. The important, the urgent, and the significant. Every single morning when you wake up in your home, there are important and urgent tasks that need to be done. The dishes, the laundry, the cooking, the shopping, the bill paying, all of these things have to be done every day, day in and day out. They are not going anywhere. Some are urgent, some are important, and they all need to get done. How I look at it as, this is terrible, is I don't care if the dishes pile up, and they do. They pile up from around, well, I'm recording this on a Friday. You'll listen to it on a Friday. So I just went and I did the dishes before I recorded this podcast. I will literally not do the dishes in my kitchen again until Sunday night or maybe Monday morning. So I'm running the dishwasher now. There'll be plenty of dishes for the weekend. For some of you, you are freaking out right now. Like, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? You're not going to do the dishes Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night? No. Actually, I usually do them Sunday afternoon after church. I usually can't stand it anymore. So I do take about 20 minutes, do the dishes and run the dishwasher again. This is a significance calculation for me. Yeah, it's important that those dishes get done. They're unsightly in the kitchen. And it's kind of urgent when we run out of certain utensils, but we do have paper plates and plastic utensils, so fend for yourself. But it's not significant because on the weekends, that's when I take time to do bigger organization projects or drive the kids to more events or I pay all of our bills on the weekend or Greg and I go on a date on the weekend. It's way more important to me that all of those things happen on the weekend that I keep up to date on my dishes and my kitchen counter is always clean. Like my kitchen counter is never clean, just so you know. Because that's not a significance calculation for me. Also, my husband's going on two trips this year. I am so excited. He is going to the Keys fishing, and then he's going to go to Alaska fishing. And you better bet, the second that man walks out this door, I will not be doing any laundry, any dishes, any cooking, any of those important and urgent household-related tasks that we usually do, because I am doing some really big projects around here. I'm taking down all the wallpaper. I've already decided all the wallpaper in my bathroom, repainting that. I'll probably put in new light fixtures in the bathroom. Don't tell him these things. He doesn't need to know these things. When he comes home, he'll be very happy and surprised. And what he really loves is he doesn't have to be here for the mess. But I will drive the kids. We will get fast food. I will take them where they need to be, but I will not clean my house. I will not vacuum. I will not do any of those household related tasks for the 10 days he is gone. And I will maximize every second I have to get some of these bigger projects done that drive him crazy. The mess. He doesn't like the mess. So last year when he went to the Keys, when he came back, I had repainted two of the walls in navy blue, one in the living room, one in our loft. And I had touched up almost all of the trim in the first floor of our house, repainted a couple of doors that needed to be painted, and I repainted a lot of walls in the first floor and second floor of our house because they're all the same color. So I could just repaint whatever walls that needed to be repainted, but not the entire rooms. So when he came back, I had painted like every second that he wasn't here. So here's how I do this, in case you're like, okay, you gotta be kidding me. Before he leaves, I get all of the laundry caught up. So when he gets on an airplane, everybody's laundry is 100% done. The dishes are done. The house is clean because those are all things I do when he's here. I also work ahead in my business. I'll record podcasts ahead. I'll get as much work done as I can before he leaves. So while he's gone, even though I have more of the driving, like I have more of the household responsibilities on me, I will carve out every second I can to work on my projects. So we will use paper plates. We will buy fast food. I will do laundry. You know, he's gone 10 days. I'm going to have to do laundry. I'll take one day where I don't do the project and I'll do all the household related stuff. But pretty much, you're not going to want to walk in my house during this time because it's going to be chaotic. But that's okay because significance wise, at the end of 10 days, my bathroom's going to be totally redone. My husband's going to be happy and he didn't have to live through it. And I'll go back to doing the laundry and dishes the way I always have. So I want you to really think about this. If you've had it and you want to get your house organized and you can't figure out where you have the time, it's not about organizing the time better so you could get more done in less time. It's organizing yourself and how you look at that time totally differently. And when you think about it that way, if you had to live with your dishes being done every other day or not caught up on the laundry, of course you probably aren't caught up on laundry anyway, who is? Like if you are, by the way, let me know because people want to know about how to get caught up on laundry. Give yourself some grace and put focus on organizing your house, which will give you a significance calculation in the end. All right, let's go through Rory's focus funnel. So he has three questions that he has you ask for any task that comes into play. And then at the end, you do two things. So his questions are, when anything comes at you, laundry, dishes, re-wallpapering the house, any of this stuff. Number one, can this task be eliminated? Number two, can it be automated? Number three, can it be delegated? And if it can't be any of those things, then the questions are, it comes out of the funnel and you ask yourself, should I do it now or should I do it later? And if you want to do it later, that's what he calls popping, procrastinating on purpose. And the task goes back up to the top of the focus funnel and filters down again. So let me walk you through what he says each of these focus funnel areas are and how I relate this to in my life. So number one, can this be eliminated? So the Sunday basket is a great example of this. When you sit down on Sunday and you take everything out of your basket and you pick up every single thing, you say, can this wait until next Sunday? But a lot of the things you find, oh, that's junk mail. I don't need to do this. I already replied to that person. I'm never going to read this thing. And you just trash it. That is, can it be eliminated? Like there's so much that is put on us that we don't really have to do at all anyway. But because somebody asks us at the right time, or we accidentally say yes, or we don't know how to say no, or there's no real good reason why we shouldn't, we do it. But a lot of these things can be eliminated. So your first question about everything always is, can this be eliminated? The second question is, can it be automated? And you guys know how I love to automate things. Rory says, automation is to your time, like compounding interest is to your money. And this is so true. Anything that you can automate is something that you don't have to think about anymore. So for example, I have the monthly, weekly, and yearly to-do checklists, which I'll link to in the show notes. And those are something that I automate. So even though I still have to do the tasks on those lists, I don't have to constantly think, oh, whose birthday is this month? Did I change the furnace filter? Did I give the dog his monthly medication? Because I have this checklist. So I've automated all of these monthly things to a checklist. And then when I go through my Sunday basket, I look at the checklist and I go, yeah, gave the dog his meds. Okay, I'm going to walk down and change the furnace filter now. So I'm automating thinking. And Rory says you can automate a lot of your thinking tasks. So one of the things that I have automated is when Greg and I cook dinner. So for a long time, Greg cooked all the dinners, which wasn't fair, but it is what it is. And recently I've decided I should be helping more. But I can't handle the constant, who's doing dinner today? What are we having for dinner today? Like, that's just such a waste of time. And mentally, I just can't handle it. So I said to him, based on our schedules, it makes the most sense that I make dinner on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesdays because the kids are in a play and they have to go right back to school. So if I bring them home, I make dinner, we take them back to school, there's no time for Greg to cook on those days. So I cook Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Then Greg cooks or is responsible for dinner if it's takeout or whatever on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So we have automated that. So great. I cooked Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then Thursday, I called Greg at work, and I said, okay, what are we doing for dinner? He goes, well, it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I have it. And I was like, yes, I don't even have to think about it because it's automated because he does dinner those nights, I do dinner these nights. This leads into something else Rory talks about, which is the rule of 30, and that goes into automating and delegating. So I'll get back to that in 1 minute. So the third question is, can you delegate it? So for a couple of years, I delegated dinner to Greg. Like, it was 100% on him, how he did it. It was all to him. Now it's automated. I do half and he does half. But delegating, Rory calls the permission to be imperfect. Okay, you guys know I love this, right? We have got to get over this perfectionism. Progress, not perfection. We want to get things done, not have them be perfect. And perfectionism is just holding us back. We just think, well, if I had the time, I could do it perfectly. Maybe I could do it better than you could if I did it instead of you did it. Or maybe you can. Maybe you can do it better than other people can. Do you want it done more than you want it done perfect? Number one. And number two, you would be surprised when you delegate things how perfectly people can do them. Like, they really can do them as good or better than you can. But you haven't given people a chance to do it. So delegating doesn't have to cost money. You can delegate things to your kids, to your spouse. You can delegate things to machines. So delegating is the permission to be imperfect. So I look at every single thing I do, and I'm always asking myself, can I get rid of it? Can I automate it? Can I delete it? Like, or delegate it? Who can do this for me? These are questions I automatically ask myself. Now, I also do this next thing called the rule of 30, which Rory talks about, that if you can teach somebody else to do it, even though it takes longer, you will get more time in the future. And I've always thought this way. The rule of 30 says, if you could take 30 times as long as it takes you to do this task for someone else to do it, then you should do that. So if it would take you 4 minutes to empty a dishwasher, and you were to take 120 minutes to teach your kids to empty the dishwasher, you wouldn't have to empty your dishwasher anymore. So that's 2 hours to teach the kids how to empty the dishwasher. Probably not going to take 2 hours, right? Like, it's really not going to take 2 hours to teach them that. Maybe you would have to do it with them 3 times, which if it took 10 minutes when you're doing with them would be 30 minutes. And then, of course, we have the reminding time of them emptying the dishwasher. But it is worth it to invest that time, because then you don't have to do that task anymore. Now, it's not always as relatable when you talk about teaching things to kids, because we're teaching things to kids. But especially in my business or on committees I'm on or anything else like that, when I hire someone into my business, I delegate a huge amount of time in my schedule to training that new person. So when I hired Pat as an admin, I knew it would take me probably 4 times as long to teach her how to do something that I did every week. And I had to chunk it. I couldn't teach her all 40 things I wanted to teach her in 1 week. So I chose 2 tasks a week, and I had on my calendar 2 hours a week to teach her those tasks. So I would show her exactly how I did it. I would watch how she did it. Then I would have her do it independently, and I would check it. And then the 4th time through, it would be her task and on her list. And for a lot of us, we don't have any extra time, or we don't perceive that we have any extra time. So that is fabulous that you could do that, Lisa, but I don't have this kind of time. Well, I didn't have this kind of time either. Like, I should have hired an admin like 6 months before I did. So I didn't have the time to train her to do these things the way I wanted them done. But I knew that 4 months later, when she was trained on all 40 tasks that I was doing that I no longer should be doing in my business, that my time would be exponentially multiplied. And that is exactly what happened. She does every task the way I would have done it or better, i.e., spelled correctly. And I have all that time back, and I have total confidence in her because she had great skills coming into our working together. But now she knows why I do things the way I do them. And then she makes improvements all the time. She's like, hey, can I do it this way? I'm like, yeah, that's way better than I did it. Thank you so much. But if I had not been willing to invest the time into her and training her and paying her regular rates while I was training her, then I wouldn't have the freedom I have now to constantly forward emails over to her, or she goes into my email inbox and takes care of things before I even get to them. And we just have a great working relationship. So this is called the ROTI, where he calls this the return on time invested. And this is the significance calculation. I knew that if I invested 4 months of my life in training an excellent admin, that that would pay off for years and years and years and years in my business. And already I see huge rewards for having done such a thing. So the significance calculation and the return on time investment as it comes to organizing your house is that if you give me 15 to 30 minutes a day to organize a space and you get through the first 21 days of the 100-day home organization challenge and you organize every nook and cranny of your kitchen, your kitchen is going to function better than it ever has before. It's going to have everything decluttered that you don't need, everything organized that you do need. You're going to find things you didn't know you had, and you'll start using them again. You'll enjoy going into your kitchen because it's clean and organized, and it's a great place to be, and you're in your kitchen a lot. So the significance calculation of taking time out of your schedule to organize your home is so beneficial to your time that it doesn't matter if you don't do the dishes those whole 21 days. When you finally get around to doing them, you'll know where to put them away and there'll be a place for them. So Rory says, you will not be able to multiply your time until you give yourself the permission to invest. And this is so true. If you stick with the story of, I'm too busy, I'm too overwhelmed, there's not enough time, I can't get it all done, that will be your story. But if you decide, okay, I am going to invest, you will make the time and then you will get back the time tenfold because your time will be multiplied. So how can you make investments in getting your house organized? There are three different ways. You need to give yourself the permission to invest in changing your mindset, which you are doing by listening to this podcast and hearing these out-of-the-box ways to organize your house. The biggest change I see that needs to happen in most people's mindset is just the belief that you can do this and you can live an organized life. Something has happened, you've gotten disorganized, you aren't living as organized of a life as you would like to. You have to get rid of the mindset that it's going to look like Better Homes and Garden and be perfectly color coordinated. It might for maybe 0.01% of you. But for the majority of us, we're going to get organized. We're going to know where our stuff is and we're going to have what we love. But it's not going to be perfect. It's not going to look perfect. So we have to get over that. And the mindset that you can do this, you can be organized. Something happened, you got disorganized, you've tried another system, or you've thought about trying one and you haven't started and you aren't organized and it didn't work for you. And so you think, I can't do it. I can't be organized. And I want you to change that mindset. You can be organized. It might take time, but you can do it. And here's what's happening here. It's not really that you think you can't be organized. You are afraid that if you invest the time into getting organized, the way I say to get organized, that it won't work for you, and then you're a failure, and then see, even the person who says I can be organized, I can't be organized. It's not going to happen. You can be organized, but you have to get your mind around the fact that you can be organized and live an organized life, which leads to the second investment, which is time. Like, there's no way to get your house organized by listening to a podcast. Sorry. You're going to have to invest the time. 15 minutes a day, 2 hours on the weekend, you're going to have to give up something in order to have the significance calculation of getting your house organized. And then the third investment is an investment of money. You can listen to the podcast and implement this without spending a dime, and I hope you can. Like, I hope that works for you. But there are two other ways that you can make this easier and faster for yourself is to invest in the 100-day home organization challenge, which will give you the daily actionable tasks and the community of people who are going through it at the exact same time that you are. So when you're organizing your spices, they're organizing their spices. And in addition to my ideas, you will get their ideas. And you will get the motivation in the Facebook group of going, all right, fine, I don't want to do the spices, but everybody else is posting pictures, so I'll go do the spices too. And you'll get sometimes better ideas from them than me. I'm actually getting ready to reorganize my electronics based on the ideas that I see in my own group. So I don't have all of the answers. Like, we're all coming together. We're all doing it together. We are on this journey together. And then if you can, invest in a professional organizer. I mean, it's the best money you will ever spend. Have somebody come to your house with you and get it done with you. Like, that will move you really fast on getting organized. You'll get organized a lot faster. Okay, a couple of things Rory says multipliers do. He says that only 8% of people use a written weekly plan. You know, the planner printable I have you print out that the majority of you have downloaded for free. If you don't have it yet, just go to organize365.com/newsletter. That'll put you on my newsletter and you get this printable free. Like, getting the printable is how you get on the newsletter. And I tell you on Sunday, when you go through your Sunday basket, to write out your plan for the week. You don't even have to reference it again, but it just helps your mind see where everything's going to go. So only 8% of people do this. What percent of multipliers do you think have a written weekly plan? 85%. 85% of people who have all these characteristics of multipliers have a written weekly plan. Now, first of all, I love that because, you know, I have a written weekly plan. But it also, you know, I've told you before, my kids have ADHD and they really resist making this written plan of any kind because it's, you know, it's constraining and I'm creative. And I see it a lot with people that they're like, okay, I like this idea, but I don't want to write it down or be confined to a written weekly plan. It's your written weekly plan. I'm not writing it for you. You can write whatever you want on there. You can write, get my hair done, get my nails done, watch Netflix, put whatever you want on the list. Just start writing it down. Make sure you don't miss any of your favorite shows. Make sure they're on this written weekly plan. But when you write it down, there's something about when you write it down, and they've shown this time and time again. So write down one area that you want to get organized in your house this week. One drawer, one cabinet, one box. Just one. Write it on an index card and get started being a multiplier of your time. Rory also says that multipliers spend time on things today that will give them more time tomorrow. So again, they focus on that significance calculation more than the important and the urgent. So let's go through this focus funnel, and I'm going to relate it to the Sunday basket, and then I'm going to let you go, and you've got to download this book off of Audible, Procrastinate on Purpose. Rory reads it. It's a very interesting listen, and I think you'll really get a lot out of it. So the focus funnel, can I eliminate it? Can I automate it? Can I delegate it? If not, it pops out the bottom of the funnel, and we decide, should we do it now or should we do it later? If we do it later, we pop it back up to the top by procrastinating on purpose. So when you think about the Sunday basket, and if you haven't heard about the Sunday basket, just go listen to episode 100. So the Sunday basket is where we put all of our paper that comes into our life all week long, and then on Sunday, we sit down, take everything out of the basket, and ask ourselves the defining question of, can this wait until next Sunday? So I actually start at the bottom of Rory's focus funnel. With everything that's in your life, you're making the two questions, you're deciding the two questions. Should I do it now or should I do it later? Can this wait until next Sunday? If it can, you just pop it back in the Sunday basket and you're going to run it through the funnel again later. Then when you have at the end of that, you've gone through everything that's in your Sunday basket, this pile of things that need to be done this week, you could take those pile of things that need to be done this week through Rory's focus funnel. And the first question is, can I eliminate it? And you kind of do that when you ask the question, can this wait until next Sunday? Some of those things you just throw away. That's eliminating it. Now, I'm not going to read this. We're not going to switch to DirecTV, you know, all these things. The next thing in the things that you do this week, this pile I have to get done this week, asking yourself the question of delegating or automating. So I often will say, hey, Greg, will you take care of this for me? So I delegate it to somebody else, or I'll pull the kids in. Okay, great. This form is for you. Can you fill this out for me? Let's get out our calendar. Let's get it on our Google Calendar. So I'm delegating and having them help me get the task done. Automating is another one. When I find out that I'm doing the same thing over and over and over again, I automate it to a checklist or a reminder on my calendar. So I pay my employees every other Tuesday. So that is a tab that's on my calendar every other Tuesday at 7:30 in the morning. It says, you know, pay your employees. So I don't have to think, is this the week that I write the paychecks? It's just an automatic thing that's on my calendar. And as I do this longer and longer, my calendar kind of looks like a colorful piece of art because there's a lot on my calendar, but there's a lot less on my to-do list because I've realized that a lot of things that I do are done on a regular basis. Like I always reconcile our checkbook between the 15th and 17th of the month, whenever that is available online. So that is a task now on my calendar. It's not anywhere else. Also, automating and delegating, you may find that you're in a really, really busy season in life, and it would be really helpful for you if you hired a house cleaner right now. Maybe you won't keep them forever. Maybe you'll only have them for, you know, 2 or 3 months. But if you could delegate your household cleaning to a cleaning service for 3 months, then you could devote that time to organizing your house and getting caught up on other things. Sometimes when you would especially like to do this are if you've lost a family member and you're dealing with that grieving in the estate. Or if somebody in your family has been sick, or you're going to have a surgery, you're going to be out of town for a long time, you have a big work event coming up, or a big event that you are planning, like a wedding or graduation, or you're having everyone over for the holidays. You know, a lot of those cleaning services, you can have them come in for a one-time cleaning. So when you think about what's on your to-do list and everything you have to do, what can you automate and what can you delegate? One of the things that I'll be automating this year that I've been wanting to do forever, but it's taken me this long to get to the point where I can do it, is bill paying. I still write out all of my checks, yes, and mail them in. But we've been paying off debt for a long time. So we weren't paying bills early. We were paying them when they were due. And in order to set up an automated bill pay system, I feel like there needs to be some extra cash in that account so that when the automatic payments are processed on the specific day, I don't have to worry about bouncing any checks. But this spring, we are going to automate as many of the bills as we can. Now, some of you may already do that and be like, I can't believe Lisa doesn't do that. It just shows you that we're all on the continuum here of getting organized and automating and delegating different parts of our life. And the whole goal here, the significance calculation, is so that we can get back time to do the things that we love and we're uniquely created to do. I love doing this podcast and talking to you guys, and I think I was uniquely created to help people, empower them to get their homes organized. That's what I want to spend my extra time with. If I did not automate and delegate things in my business, I would spend so much time doing other things, I wouldn't have any time for podcasting. So what is it that you were uniquely designed and created to do that you don't have enough time to do? Maybe it's painting. Maybe it's volunteering. Maybe it's just dating your spouse. Maybe it's taking your kids out once a month to a dinner. What is it that if I waved a magic wand and you had no more household responsibilities and your house was completely organized and you're sitting there with nothing to do, how would you spend your time? And when you really get a clear picture on how you would spend your time, it will motivate you to get the house automated and delegated and organized so that you have that time to live the life that you were created to live. All right, go download the book.